Sol's eyes narrowed. "Because Mr. Dibbler," he growled, "is a very observant man." Dibbler had been right. The new city was the old city distilled. Narrow alleys were narrower, tall buildings taller, gargoyles were more fearsome, roofs more pointed. The towering tower of art in Unseen University was here even taller and more precariously towering, even though it was at the same time only one quarter of the size. The Unseen University was more baroque and buttressed, the Patrician's Palace more pillared. Carpenters swarmed over a construction that, when it was finished, would make Ankh-Morpork look like a very indifferent copy of itself, except that the buildings in the original city were not, by and large, painted on canvas stretched over timber, and didn't have the dirt carefully sprayed on. Ankh-Morpork's buildings had to get dirty all by themselves. It looked far more like Ankh-Morpork than Ankh-Morpork ever had. Ginger had been ushered off to the changing tents before Victor had a chance to speak to her, and then shooting started and it was too late. Century of the Fruit Bat, and now it said on the sign in slightly smaller type, "More stars than there are in the heavens," 49,873, according to number Richtor's clockwork celestial enumerator, believed that a click should be made in less than 10 times the time it took to watch. Blown Away was going to be different. There were battles. There were night scenes. The imps painting away furiously by torchlight. Dwarfs worked merrily in a mine never seen before or since, where fake gold nuggets the size of chickens had been stuck in the plaster walls. Since Sol demanded that their lips should be seen to move, they sang a Rhys Gay version of the Hi-Ho, Hi-Ho, Hi-Ho song, which had rather caught on among Holywood's dwarf population. It was just possible that Sol knew how it all fitted together. Victor didn't. It was always best, he had learned, never to try and follow the plot of any clique you were in. And in any case, Sol wasn't just shooting back to front, but sides to middle as well. It was totally confusing. Just like real life. When he did get a chance to talk to Ginger, two handlemen and everyone else in the cast who currently had nothing to do was watching them. "Okay, people," said Sol. "This is the scene near the end where Victor meets Ginger after all they've been through together, and on the card he'll be saying..." He stared at the big black oblong handed to him. "Yes, he'll be saying, 'Frankly, my dear, I'd give anything for one of Harger's prime pork ribs in special curry sauce.'" Sol's voice slowed and stopped. When he breathed in, it was like a whale surfacing. "Who wrote this?" One of the artists cautiously raised a hand.
"Mr. Dibbler told me to," he said quickly.
Sol leafed through the big heap of cards that represented the dialogue for a large part of the clique. His lips tightened. He nodded to one of the people with clipboards and said, "Could you just run over to the office and ask my uncle to stroll over here if he's got a moment?" Sol pulled a card out of the stack and read, "I sure miss the old mine, but for a taste of real country cooking, I always go to Harger's House of..." "I see." He selected another at random. "Ah, I see here a wounded royalist soldier's last words are, 'What I wouldn't give right now for a $1 eat till it hurts special at Harger's House of Ribs, mother.'" "I think it's very moving," said Dibbler behind him. "There won't be a dry eye in the house, you'll see." "Uncle," Sol began. Dibbler raised his hands. "I said I'd raise the money somehow," he said. "And Shamhager's even helping us with the food for the barbecue scene."
"You said you weren't going to interfere with the script."
"That's not interfering," said Dibbler stolidly. "I don't see how that could be considered interfering. I just polished it up here and there. I think it's rather an improvement. Besides, Harger's All You Can Gobble for a Dollar is amazing value these days."
"But the click is set hundreds of years ago," shouted Sol.
"Well," said Dibbler, "I suppose someone could say, 'I wonder if the food at Harger's House of Ribs will still be as good in hundreds of years' time.'"
"That isn't moving pictures. That is crass commerce."
"I hope so," said Dibbler. "We're in real trouble if it isn't."
"Now look," Sol began threateningly. Ginger turned to Victor.
"Can we go somewhere and talk?" she said quietly. "Without your dog," she added.